among the saints.
Your throne so
Lord, please reserve a mansion
Roman ground.
Amen. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? Do you love God? I really love the Lord. So you sing it if you love him. Will I really love the Lord. Oh, and you don't know what it's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. And he watches over me. Over. Oh, it's nothing but God watching over us. Will he? He watches over me. Oh, and you don't know what is done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me the big will, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. And that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done
for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me
the victory.
And that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly our honored guest this morning. We thank you for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. But we're just glad that we're in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I've entitled my lesson, Overcoming the World and Its Problems. Overcoming the World and Its Problems. I want to, this month of May, I want to study some inspiring Bible characters. And I want to address many of the issues that so many, I know we're not privy to all of the personal lives of church members, but the elders, myself, we get a lot of calls and a lot of quite a bit of visiting and so many, not only in our church here at the Fifth Ward Church, but so many are struggling with so many different things, and. And we know on this side it won't be perfect. But there is victory in being a Christian. And we're not defeated. And we see over and over again that God takes care of his children. And I want to be practical, and I want I know we have been pushing hard in trying to preach the gospel, and trying to win souls to Jesus Christ, and trying to understand, for helping everybody to understand that your number one priority is to save your soul. Because anything you do on this side, if you get it right, if you don't get the other part right, it won't count. But there is victory in being a Christian. Sometimes some people call overcoming, we have an overcomers class support group here at the church, and they meet every Tuesday at 7:30. And if you are struggling with anything in particular, and really that we all should be in the class if you just really think about it. Amen, somebody. Some of us are embarrassed. Some of us just feel we're dealing with our things on our own. But we extend that to anybody who just needs some support. You have Christian men who use biblical principles to help us to learn how to live every day. But God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, according to the scriptures. And some call overcoming a breakthrough. One sister told me, she said, "Brother Gary, I need a breakthrough." And it struck me when she said it, and I said, well, you know, I felt her heart, because a breakthrough is an act of overcoming. It's an act of overcoming or penetrating an obstacle, a restriction. The breakthrough means to advance. It means to make progress. Anybody feel like you're in a rut and you need to make some progress? And I was just reading some things, and you've heard of a scientific breakthrough, and it's simply where science and technology it means that they've discovered something, a new discovery. But often a new discovery is not a new discovery, because the cure has always been there. But we just have not discovered it yet. And sometimes I think we as Christians, we live defeated lives because we haven't latched on to what God has already given us. I looked up scientific discoveries. Did you not know that anesthesia was thank the Lord for anesthesia also. But it was 1946 that the gentleman's name was Oliver Holmes. He penned the phrase anesthesia in 1946, because they found a way to perform these medical procedures that wouldn't induce more pain on the patient, and they could do it, and the patient could live, and they wouldn't be in excruciating pain. I know you. I thank the Lord. I remember when my first child was born, and they gave my wife an epidural. You know what? Sisters know what the epidural is. And it is anesthesia, where they inject a fluid in the spinal cavity, and it alleviates the pain, so a mother can have a baby while she's sitting in the bed, and not have all that pain. And brothers, listen, I witnessed it myself. We went to the child, you know, to all the Lamar's classes when I had our first child, and we were going to have a natural, you know, natural childbirth. I say we were going to have natural childbirth. Like, yeah, baby, we're going to be natural. Like, I'm having the baby. And those pains started hitting my wife. And I first time I'm in there, I never see my wife in this kind of. And the lady said, "Ma'am, do you want some anesthesia?" My wife said, "Well, yes!" But it's a risky procedure. But boy, they gave her that, and it was a whole different world in that room. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. But they even found out that the opium plant, centuries even before, was used as an herbal anesthesia. But when it was discovered, it blessed so many. You go to the dentist and they can give you something, and you don't feel that pain. But it was a breakthrough. Mount Everest, a gentleman by the name, a team by the name of Edmund Hillary and Napalese Norgay, they reached the top of Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world, on May the 29th, 1953. Many had tried before, and many failed. Some died. But did you not know, since that time, since they overcame this great big mountain that In 2010, 3,142 people have successfully completed the climb of Mount Everest. Amazing. It's amazing what we can do with faith and following principles that God has given us. And it is amazing who we inspire. And I know that there are those that are here, and I'm in that list that have all of these issues. And it could be financial problems or marital problems or lack of personal progress or family issues or stress on the job or issues with yourself or relationship issues or past hurts or grieving or physical health or emotional health or somebody is living in sin or unmet desires. And is there an answer? Can we, how in the world are we going to deal with all of this stuff? But that's amazing. I won't have time to cover everything that I have, but I looked at some Bible characters and examples, and I want to share. Go to Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. Everybody's all right this morning? Yeah. Listen to the word of God. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Did he have some issues? He was blind. I know we have some issues. Yeah. We need to keep our issues in perspective. We're not the first one to have them. We won't be the last. Amen, somebody? Yeah, we all came in here with something. How we're dealing with, see, this man was blind. Now, everybody participate if you will. I know everybody won't, but if you will, participate. Close your eyes for just a second. Now you're blind. Now I still feel this light on me up here, although I can't see, but some of you are looking at total darkness. Now, I'm going to raise, open your eyes for just a second. Now, you were blind for about 5 seconds. Now, you have some other issues. See, some of you don't like your job. Some of you, just your job is your biggest headache right now. Now, suppose you were blind for a week. Just you blind. You can't see. Now, I wanted to ask. You know how I am. I'm sometimes too expressive. But I wanted to ask everybody to stand up and change seats while you were blind. But we didn't want chaos in the worship house this morning. But notice this, you're blind for a week. You can't see. Somebody has to help you. You're dependent on somebody else. Now, I know all of us. Now, I don't think in here this morning, I might be wrong. Now, I know in all this side, there may be someone that's really blind. You might be sitting next to the person, or they're legally blind. Okay, you're blind. Now, you don't hate your job. Got a headache because of it right now. Now you blessed to get your sight. You've been blind for a week. Now you get your sight back. Now you're going to work Monday. How you feel about your job now? See, some of us have been lingering on our issues too long. And it's clouded everything. Some of us haven't mentioned the name of Jesus to nobody in a long time because of your issues. And you have allowed them to overcome you when, especially if you're in Jesus Christ this morning, that shouldn't be the case. Now, this man was blind. I don't want to take this out of context. He was sitting by the road begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire. Oh, underline inquire. Notice, he's blind. Overcomers inquire. He's blind, but he can inquire. It means that you get out of, you ask somebody besides yourself what's going on. Yeah, overcomers are inquirers. Not that you nosy, but if you don't know something, if you need something, It's amazing how somebody can be sitting in a situation in a class and they don't know what's going on and they don't ask nobody.
And this blind man, he inquired, what was this? They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And obviously this was not the first time he heard about Jesus. And notice the scripture say, not just Jesus of Nazareth. There is a difference. Scholars would say that there were several, even in Jesus' time, that had the surname Jesus. But we need to know the right Jesus. Amen. It makes a difference who we listen to. And they told him that Jesus was Nazareth. And he called out. Now, overcomers call out. And he inquired. And calling out exhibits a spirit of humility. And I don't know everything. And I don't have all the answers. Can I just talk to the brothers for just a second? I just want to talk to the brothers for just a second. Because a lot of time we are hard-headed. You notice I say we. I mean hard. It's just, I don't know if it's pride. But you know, we don't like to seem weak. And we have a hard time calling out many times. Sometimes our sisters, our wives, it don't have to be our wives, our sisters. He needs some help. He needs some help. When I grew up, my dad, he taught us a lot of different things. I like to do things when I have time to do them. But some things I don't have inkling about. You know, when it comes to, I'm not going to tell you all of me because you be talking about me, but there's some things and my wife, she, you know, Sister Smith, she says, baby, why don't you call somebody? And I say, see, the brothers always say, I got it. When we really want to get them off our back, we say, would you let me handle this? Yeah, say something like that. And then she said, okay, handle it. And sometimes my wife get mad at me. She said, well, handle it then. And sometimes we waste so much time with our foolish pride. We waste too much time. Because you can play with it and tinkle about it and you don't know what you are doing. And this blind man, he called. Somebody in here this morning, it's time to call out. Yeah, I mean, this is, in your marriage, okay, you've been arguing, you've been fussing, you've been mad, you got wrinkles in your head, same thing happen every week, every time the topic comes up, y'all have the same argument over and over again, it goes the same way. Nothing being solved, but you got it. Yeah, that's when it's time to call. We have, you know, the Lord in God's spiritual house. We have marriage wisdom class. Some people see marriage. I don't need to go there. And that's how we looking when we say I don't need to go there. Your wife saying you sure do need to be there. We got it together. No, you don't have it together. Things are available. God provides things for us. Nobody's not knocking us down, but sometimes we need to call out, especially when we know it's Jesus of Nazareth. That's all right. This blind man, he's blind physically, but he knows when he is. Listen, he says, he called out saying, Jesus, notice this, I know that he knew about Jesus. Jesus, son of David. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, this is Jesus, son of David. He knew the scriptures. And I'm not saying, I know some of us, we call too many people. We call our sister-in-law, a brother-in-law, a cousin, our uncle. We call the psychic hotline. They still have a psychic hotline. Oh, no, sorry, don't answer that. We call the phone, get on the internet, we call Google, Yahoo, search engines. We calling the wrong people. Now, if somebody been married 50 years, don't you think they know something? A little something, don't they? Yeah, see, now listen, look out among us. The scriptures say, when you're sick, call the elders of the church. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and this blind man was blind. But he called out to Jesus of Nazareth. Overcomers get help from the rites. Overcomers inquire. Overcomers call out. And they design our overcomers class in a way that, hey, it's a whosoever will. They don't get on the phone and say, call everybody in the church, say, you come in the overcomers class. Because most of the time when you have to beg somebody to come, when you have to make somebody to come, they're not ready to come. Somebody been in here right now, you might be, okay, Brother Gary, you said that enough, I heard you, go move on. And you might be the main one that needs to come, but you're just not ready. You start, something else got to happen. Overcomers inquire, overcomers call out, overcomers get help from the right source. The right source. When you go off to school, they require you to read so many books. And I enjoy reading, but I don't like reading just to be making a grade. And they make you read some books. There's some sense to it. After you read some of it, I think they want you to read some of it. Some of this is junk because they want you to recognize what's good from what's bad. And some of us don't know what's good from what's bad. We read all junk and we think it's good and we can't compare it. And so I say that because, see, some of us are focusing on the wrong, we going to the wrong sources for our answers. And if the scriptures have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, the fight was on last night? They said Floyd Mayweather made $180 million, that's what they paid him, something like that. Somewhere around 100, you know how much $180 million is? Now, notice this, that's entertainment, right? It's boxing, it's entertainment, and lots of people just thrive, and I like entertainment. I like boxing, I like sports, but that's not our main, that's entertainment. And some people get hyped up and twisted up and just all into all of this. But the most of the people to Floyd Mayweather is his livelihood. To most people, it's just entertainment. And a lot of us, we are seeking fulfillment in things that are so fleeting, they don't fulfill any voids in our lives. And we get a temporary fix. You watching the fight, oh, that was so good, man, that fight was good, boy. Ooh, oh, man, well, didn't he win? Did he give you something? I try to study people that, have a high achievers. Like Beyonce. Is Beyonce still popular? I guess she is. She makes a lot of money, too. Beyonce, she's known for singing, shaking her body, and entertaining, and ooh, Beyonce's on, and people buy concert tickets. I mean, we get all bent out of shape, and ooh, Beyonce coming to town. Beyonce not, what can she do? I mean, and we get this little fix for a minute, and we are in this world, and we are seeking counsel from the wrong people, and the wrong situations, and the wrong things. And I just got to ask this question, because some of us think these lessons are too simple. Do you want to know Jesus? See, this blind man, he knew he was blind and had a problem. He heard about what Jesus had been doing. I know if you're here this morning, you've heard some things about Jesus. You've read him. You've been somewhere. You've heard some of the things that he's done. You might not know it for yourself. Obviously, this blind man didn't know Jesus like he needed to know him yet, but he heard about him, and he inquired about him, and he called out, "Don't you want to know about Jesus?"
Yeah, and so I'm dedicated my whole life to learning more about Jesus. And what he can do for me in my life, I know what he already has done. And I know some promises that he has made to me, that Floyd Mayweather, Beyonce, they haven't even tried to make these promises. Jesus, one of the promises he said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many," some say, "dwelling places, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Now, no, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm coming again." That's what he said. Jesus said this with his own word. He says, "Gary, he says, you believe in God? Believe also in me." He said, "I have mansions, dwelling places." Now, notice this. Right, Floyd Mayweather not giving me a dime. Beyonce not going to give me a penny. Jesus made that promise. You know what? I need to find out if Jesus is good for this promise. And that blind man, he heard about Jesus, and he heard that Jesus had performed some miracles before. Now, he's blind. Now, some of you have heard that yourself. Although you might not believe it, you've heard it yourself. And I just have to ask the question, do you want to know who Jesus is? Because we're talking about overcoming. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you." Then he says, "And learn of me." See, one of the things that overcomers do, must do, is learn in any situation. You learn more than, see, you, if you're having financial issues, it's for one or two reasons. You're not making enough money, or you're not managing your money. It's really simple, isn't it? And most of us, we probably feel like we're not making enough money. I surely wish I was making some more money. But the real question is what we're doing with what we're making, amen? Notice this. If you're not managing your money, this is not a money management class. If you're not managing your money, that means it's either you are wasting money or you don't know what to do with your money. If you don't know what to do, you need to inquire from somebody other than you, because you don't know. And if you're big-headed, and if you're, well, Gary, you, I'm not calling anybody. If you just, if the shoe fit, if it's not you, don't worry about it. But if you're making a mistake, then you need to inquire. And if you, some of us need to humble ourselves and call out for help to the right person. So that answers even to secular problems if we use biblical principles to overcome. Amen, somebody. And Jesus says, "Learn of me." That's something else that you need to learn that you don't know. And it does not come by osmosis. Even if you're going to be a Christian, there's some things you must learn. Amen. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You can't be a Christian and not know the word of God. Yeah. And so he says, "And learn of me." This is Jesus talking. And he's given us principles for life, because, see, notice, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He's talking about life on earth and in heaven. And if you follow my principles, I'm going to help you to overcome, is what he's saying. And he says, "Learn of me." Then he says, "For I'm meek and lowly at heart." Jesus said, "I'm humble. I'm not a hard taskmaster." And he is. He's kind. He's gracious. He's simplistic. That's why some people don't get it. Yes, he says, "I'm humble at heart." He don't brag. He's not braggadocious. And he gives it to us, and he feeds it to us, and then he will even lead by example. "I came not to be served, but to serve." That's what Jesus said. And so he's a good taskmaster. How many of you have a good boss that you just love because they are a people person? They love, they care about you, they're concerned about you, they even ask about you. You know they are concerned about you. That's Jesus. Yes, and he's trying to help us to live while we're on this earth. When we become a Christian, he wants us to enjoy life. Yeah, yeah. Then he,
Romans 5 verse 8, but God commended or demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the part he's worth our allegiance. He's given us everything. He died for our sin. Anybody got some sins in here? This is what before I got up here this morning, the brother was praying. I said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Well, yeah, you always say that. I know it. I do. I know you don't have any, but I have some sins that I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for. Notice, that's a privilege I have because I'm in Christ Jesus. You know that? See, when you're not in Christ, when you're a sinner and you pray to the Lord, you're not in Christ, and you out there living your life and you ask, Lord, forgive me of my sins, you're in sin. And that's something you got to do before you can even pray to God and ask him to forgive your sins. And the scriptures say that he commended his love that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Yes, he died. And more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. We're talking about overcoming. See, that puts our issues in perspective. And so no matter what you have done, no matter how insecure you might be about, see, some of us, we need to overcome our insecurity. Some of us don't, we think because we're in a family that your parents, somebody in your family, your mother, stepdaddy, or whoever you live with, they didn't treat you like they treated your sisters, and you think they don't love you like, treat you like they don't love you, so you packing that around, so you insecure about everything, all these relationships. When somebody don't speak to you, they don't like me, they don't love me, they don't like me, and you all down, you depressed because you don't think nobody loves you. And you can't operate in a relationship because you are insecure. And Jesus says, I fixed all of that. Lord. Now, listen, this is easier said than done. Some of you that grew up in families, you say, well, Gary, that's no big deal. It's no big deal to you. But when you haven't been loved like you should have been loved, it's tough with you. So don't downplay that. That's what some of us are dealing with when it comes to overcoming in this world. That's why we can't function on our job and in groups, because we think everybody ought to get us. So you got to go. You got to know Jesus. This blind man knew he had some issues. He didn't have the answers. He inquired. He called out. He called out to Jesus, who's the right one to call out to. Lord have mercy. Let me do this real quick for my next 12 minutes. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. I had three characters I wanted. I know I'm going to get through two of them, Bible characters. Now, Jesus' advice don't do any good if you don't obey him. Well. Amen, somebody? You see now, that's what we have to understand about our overcoming. You can be consumed by an issue that you are involved in. You can think about it. You can pray about it. You can talk about it. You can linger on it. But there comes a time that you got to do something about it. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, the first man wasn't named. He was blind. This is Zacchaeus. And the scriptures say he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Excuse me. Go to John chapter 5, verse 5, because I'm not going to have time to finish this. I'm going to go to John chapter 5 and verse 5. I'm going to skip to my last character. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. The first man was blind. This man, 38 years. 38 years is a long time. Yeah. But you don't know. I've been going through this for 2 years. And I'm tired of it.
You've been preaching a while. You have to be careful about what you say, because you know I surely don't want, and I don't want to disclose any private. And so this is generic, okay? But some people will say things like, you know, I'm tired of this. I've been dealing with this for 6 months. Now look, 6 months is a long time, depending on what you are going through. Amen. So we're not negating, we're not downplaying, but some of us need to get outside of our hole sometime and put things in perspective and stop making things bigger than they are. And this man was sick for 38 years. That's a long time. Now, some folks in here right now can relate to that because you've had dealings with something for long periods of time. But remember that God don't look at time like we look at time. You're talking about the Creator that one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord and 1,000 years as one day in His sight. You say, well, I'm 100 years old. What's that to God? Because He is eternal. Amen, somebody. So we all are young chickens to God. 38 years, the scriptures say, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition. Yeah, we serve a mighty God who even Jesus said it was a long time in that condition. And some of you, this may not help, but a whole lot of us in here need this, because we see, some of us have come too far to let God go. Too far to turn around, too far to get disillusioned. And sometimes I'm talking to sisters and brothers who have been in the faith for a long time, and you hear this conversation, this weariness, and this but Gary, sometimes I don't know if it's worth it. I'm like, come on, brother. Don't give up now. And Jesus says he was this way for a long time. And he said to him, do you wish to get well? That's what Jesus said. Can I ask the same question? Do you wish to get well? And I went through, looked up some of the Greek definitions of some of these words as I was studying this. And I love it that Jesus makes this simple. And sometimes I think that's why we miss some of the principles. Because see, he asks a basic question. If we are going to overcome, if we're going to have this breakthrough, we must get out of our mind that somebody else is going to do it for us. See, there are some things that we must do for ourselves. And one of the reasons why I believe that Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Let him that thirsts come. God has never twisted anybody's arms to obey him. And he's not going to start now. In this audience right now, the question is, do you wish to get well? Because that's the beginning of your healing. Notice this. The beginning of any change in any issues is that you want it to get better. And I know I'm in the audience that we want, we have a desire. And what we want to know is, how do I do it? And he says, do you wish to get well? The sick man asked. Notice he said, the sick man. Everybody say sick man. Now that's a generic term, man. Sick woman. Now. Don't say this if you don't want to say it. But if you want to say, I'm sick. Yeah. I know it. I'm not sick. I'm all right. Yeah. I know it. Sir. And
And as we read this, I want you to feel his spirit. I want you to feel, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. I want you to hear him start with his excuses. And everybody got an excuse. Yeah, he says, now Jesus asked him a question. He says, do you want to get well? And the humanity came out of him, and somebody said, yeah, he's just making an excuse. I know, that's the same thing I thought when I read it. I said, now, that ain't what, that's not, you know, my mother and parents used to do, but that's not what I asked you. Jesus asked him, do you wish to get well? Now, what should the answer have been?
Yes.
Yes or period. Either you want to get well or you don't. And he started saying, Lord, I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. Now, if I asked you, do you want to get well, don't you think I had a power to take you and put you in the pool if that's what I need to do? And he said, he started making excuses. And I just, this is for me. This is for, see, what's your excuse? What's my excuse? Because we got some. Now, you know we can come up with some excuses. Yeah, see. Let's say you have financial problems and you recognize that, you know, I can't move up on my job. They picking everybody. We said they picking everybody over me. They you know, it's a group thing. It's a connection thing. They got, see, it's a click thing on my job. And maybe it is a click on them. I don't know. Maybe that might be the problem. But we make excuses, you know. Well, you know what? See, I don't know. They don't know me. I don't know everybody. I need to make more. If the question is, do you want to get well? You ought to be asking, how do I get well? But you got to be talking to the right source if you want to get well. Because see, if you ask me, you say, well, but Gary, I'm not making enough money. Well, what's your state right now? Well, I need to make $15 more an hour. Well, you need to make $15 more an hour. How are you going to do that? Well, I don't know. Well, what you doing on your job? Well, I'm a cashier right now. Well, I said, well, you need to go from a cashier attitude to a manager attitude. See, some folks go to work and they just go punch in the clock. Who? And all you, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Here you click. You taking people's stuff, and you watching the clock all day. Your boss man see you watching the clock. What time? Is it lunchtime yet? Yeah, it's lunchtime. I'm going to my break. You go to break because you got that employee at mindset, and you just on that job just to get that little check, and your pay never gonna go up. Amen. Somebody. Because you mad at the world, you having a hard time, your kids bad at home, and you thinking about all of that because, see, you are blind. But you're making your issues bigger than they are, and you're making them bigger because if you need to make some more money, what you need to be doing is punching in that clock, going to work, seeing people, how you doing, sir? Yes, ma'am. You anything else you need? Boss man, what can I do to make my job more efficient? What can I do to save the company more money? If you want to make more money, you have a better attitude. Lord, we're talking about overcoming. In other words, something has to change. You have to inquire, you have to ask, you have to talk to the right son. Stop making all of these excuses. If you need to go back to school, go back to school. I don't have the money to go back to school. Inquire.
Lord have mercy.
So he made excuses. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, notice this. He said, get up. You know, some of us are motivated in different ways. And I believe me, I understand that if you play sports, you know some coaches, boy, they have no pity on you. I had the no pity coaches, and I had one of them. A coach who pushed me, but he encouraged me. But you know, that's sometimes we need. Some of us in here, you know what we need to do? You need to So maybe I shouldn't use this word. You need to be quiet and you need to get up. Now, my daughters, now you know how your kids, you know, they played sports, and because I played sports at a high level, I know the dedication that it takes to be good at a sport if you're going to play. I know it. Well, how do you know, Brother Gary? Because I did it. I trained hard. I saw others who didn't train hard. I saw others who did a thing. I know. No, Brother Gary. How you know I did it? So when my daughter, after they decided they want to play, I didn't push them to play sport. But when they decide they want to play, I say, well, look, if you're going to play sports, you're going to be dedicated. You're going to do the work. Because if you don't, it's going to hurt you. You're going to be disappointed because you're not getting out of it what you want. And so when it came to sports, my daughters, they, you know, I encouraged them. I was at all the game. But I tell you what, if they wanted that, look, that was several times I said, you know what, you need to quit making excuses. You need to get busy and get to work. Amen, somebody. Not, you know, well, it's going to be, yeah, you know, she could, but, you know, you just keep trying, and you know, it's going to be, you don't have to practice. No, you go to practice. See, some of us, you know, the preacher, the words are compassionate. Yes, we know that being a Christian, God is loving and he's good. But Jesus told this man, you know what, it's like he didn't even tell him to shut up. He just told him, you know what, get up. And that is what some of us need to hear this morning. Some of us, I didn't realize how many. There are several, some people who come to the Lord's house and who are seeking and searching for the truth. And there are individuals who come for weeks. And notice this, God is patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Amen, somebody? And then some of us can testify to that. But you think God going to wait on you forever? Amen? What are you saying? Jesus said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Now, you know what? So God has already been gracious to you. Now, you're searching for answers. And the scriptures tell us in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You heard me say that for about 8-9 weeks. And you heard me say it because it's in the Bible. That's your faith. If you're looking for something to drop out the sky, or this great revelation or something to open up and give you some knowledge that here I'm giving anybody else, it's not going to happen. And so you have to do that for yourself. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that, notice this, he's a rewarder. I heard that every week. No, are you hearing it? Notice, he is a rewarder of them that sit on their bed and wait for him. Oh, you see, I need some help in my marriage. It's time to get up. It's time to go see somebody if you need to see somebody. See anybody, not anybody. Brother Ben Wilson has a great class that's going on right now. He's one of the elders of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. You need to see somebody other than you've been seeing. And it's time to get up. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. You know, being a Christian in life, it takes diligence. It's not osmosis. No, it took you energy to get up this morning, to put your clothes on, to put your clothes out at night, to get in your car, and to come to this. Some people say, well, I believe that serving God, the church don't have nothing to do. Where you get that from? Church is God's family. Church is what Jesus died for. Amen, somebody. Yes. Yes, see. So somebody needs to get up. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. If you're here and you need to be baptized, see, that's why folks, a lot of folk in the world, they've negated baptism. No, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Oh, have mercy.
What have you been reading? Who are you listening to? One of the last things Jesus said before he left this earth was, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name. Why in the world would you not want to get baptized? I like the word, Brother Gary. Well, you need to obey the word. This morning, we have water ready for you if you want to be baptized. These are biblical principles of overcoming, getting our spiritual houses in the Lord. They that gladly receive the word were baptized, the scripture tells us. In Acts chapter 2, 47, praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then where's the young man that read the scripture this morning? Well, come for just a sec. Brother Alexander, can you turn? Oh, let's see. Turn. Now I want you to get your Bible. I want you to read 1 John chapter 5. Didn't he do a wonderful job this morning? Yeah. Read it. In verse number 4. I want you to read it again. 1 John chapter 5. In verse number 4. Read it so everybody can hear. I want a young man to read. They think I'm old. I want a young man to read it. And I want you to remember this passage. Read.
And it is written, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
Thank you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. And you read even secular books, and they will say, you must believe before you can achieve. God says this to us. And I want us as saints, as Christians, those of us that are living everyday lives, to stop living defeated lives. And raise your head up. Because this world needs some light. It needs overcomers. And just like those two men, they conquered Mount Everest, and they paved the way for others. As your family needs you to overcome. And somebody called my wife and said one of our kids here at church, I think it's brother and sister Fagan's daughter, made it to state. Is that right? Made it to the state track and field state. Is that right, Brother Fagan? Made it to the state in the track meet yesterday. Amen. And she, well, how old is what grade is she? She's in the 10th grade, and she made the state in what race? Wow. Is that her right there? Yes, sir. Stand up for just a second. In the 10th grade, made it to state. Now, listen. Okay, sit down for just a second. Notice this. Now, I said it. That she has a gift. Amen. Now, everybody's booking. I'm going to state. No, you're not going to state. Notice. She has a gift. She's using that gift. What we would say to her, you better take God with you. Because that don't mean anything without God. Amen, somebody? But when one of us, I wish I could do this. I can't do it. But see, there are some couples in here that some of you other couples need to meet. Amen? There's some couples who have been on the brink of divorce. Let me take it a step further. There are some couples who have been divorced and who have changed, who have inquired, who have called out, and have renewed their marriage. Amen, somebody. Amen. Oh, no. Okay. Brother, I know he wouldn't mind if he was here. Is Brother Wayne Wilson, he's not in here this morning, second service. Why would you embarrass? It's not embarrassing to, see, when you overcome, you lose your pride. See, you're not going to overcome till you inquire, till you call out. You're not going to go to the overcomers support group until you lose your pride. You realize you can't do it yourself. Amen, somebody? And see now, this is not magic. This is obeying God. Obeying, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Those that have been born of God, you ought to have it in your heart to humble yourself enough to follow Jesus' principles, and we will overcome whatever it is. But first of all, you need to come to Jesus. You need to get in the Lord's church, the only church you can read about in the Bible. It is one God's family. You need to be baptized into his church, and you need to do that today, even as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to his spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he brings the soul freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free?
Will you come?
'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul.
Thirsty soul.